from the Cyber Hub bunker in studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. Wrapping up what's been a really, really busy week in the first week of March. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. We've got a packed show. And honestly, like, it's been getting harder every day to pick five stories or six stories, which I would typically do, where this week we've been at 8, 9, 10, 11, respectively, every single day, simply because of the amount of things that are going on and the amount of moving parts and pieces that require a practitioner to be very, very aware of as you work diligently to ensure that you're putting forth the best posture, resiliency, and everything else you need for your business. And so today's show, also jam-packed. So thank you for tuning in. Please make sure to subscribe. Follow us on your favorite social media. Please follow us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Give us a five-star rating. Go check out our YouTube. You can also check out our Substack, jamesazar.substack.com. The story you see right there in the middle is something I've never done before. Writing a little bit about my personal life, so you can definitely check that out there as well. And now, without further ado, join me for a coffee cup cheers this morning. My double espresso, whatever you're drinking, coffee cup cheers, y'all. Awesome audience. Love what I do. Cybersecurity, let's get into it. We talked about the JetBrains Team City vulnerability. And I said right then and there a few days ago, the moment we talked about this, there's going to be exploits being made public. And lo and behold, not even 72 hours later, after the patches have been announced, there are significant exploits already out there. Technical details are being released. Rapid7 didn't want JetBrains to do what it assessed, which is to be silent patching, which the security firm strongly opposes. They've published a blog post that's really kind of turned things on for the threat actors. Shadow Server Foundation reported seeing 16 IPs scanning the internet for vulnerable servers. A proof of concept exploit started emerging same day, March 5th. March 4th reported, March 5th, same day they saw IPs scanning for vulnerable servers. They already had an exploit in play. This is significant. It's important to understand this because as you run vulnerability management in your organization, and as you look at the different ways to identify vulnerabilities, and there's a lot of vulnerability management tools out there, and a lot of them are great, but at the end of the day, the utilization of the tools has to be based on how you run your security program and what's critical for your business. And right here, right then, these are the types of things that require all hands on deck, burning through the night oil in order to get this done. This is one of those within 24 hours, exploit already out there in the marketplace, mass exploitation reported by March 6th. Today, we're the 7th. They're seeing many of these 2,700 unpatched hosts still in the United States, Germany, and Russia. On March 6th, the project had seen a drop to 1,700, but in 1,400 cases, there were clear signs of rogue user creation, meaning we are likely to see the impact of this within the next several weeks, months to come here, where we'll see companies report some sort of cybersecurity incident as a result of this specific vulnerability because the patching didn't get done on time. And not in the speed it's required. It's not just important to patch, it's important in the speed of the patch and its deployment in order to defend your instances. A record year for cybercrime in the United States as the FBI's IC3, those who don't know, it's the Internet Crime Complaint Center for the FBI, released its Internet Crime Report, which recorded a 22% increase in reported losses compared to 2022, amounting to a record of $12.5 billion. That's some country's GDP. Just so you understand, we're losing to cybercrime what more than I think many countries. It's insane. The number of relevant complaints submitted reached 880,000 complaints submitted, and these are the people complaining, y'all. These are the people that actually called IC3 or called the FBI or Secret Service or any of the bodies that report and monitor this stuff to IC3. 880,000 complaints, that's a 10% increase. The most vulnerable group are people over the age of 60, showing you that these cyber criminals, wherever they are predominantly targeting the elderly. Where last year we saw the highlighted four online crimes that caused the most financial losses: business email compromise, investment fraud, ransomware, and tech customer support and government impersonation scams. The BEC scams resulted in over $2.9 billion in losses from 21,489 complaints. Those typically target companies. However, investment fraud, which targets people like you and me, reconfirmed losses of $4.57 billion. This was primarily driven by cryptocurrency scam, which accounted for $3.94 billion. That's crazy. The FBI recorded 2,800 complaints linked to ransomware impacting critical infrastructure sectors, including healthcare, manufacturing, government, and IT. The total amount of losses there had exceeded 59.6 million. Many companies either don't pay the ransomware, or when they do, they don't report it because they don't want to, a whole slew of reasons. Finally, customer support and government impersonation scams had a $1.3 billion in losses. So all in all, we're seeing this stuff really kind of go through. $1.3 billion in losses targeted mostly people over the age of 60. That's people's Social Security. That's their pension. That's a significant lifestyle change for those individuals. Just shows you the impact we need to have. After seeing this, I'm working on something right now where our goal is to potentially see what we can do to help the elderly avoid cyber scams. Earlier this week, we talked about the German military being humiliated by the Russians when a top secret military brass call was leaked online over the weekend. Well, now we know the reasons for it. A German military officer used an unsecured phone line while in a Singapore hotel to join the conference call that was hacked by the Russians and leaked to the public, according to the German defense minister. The fallout from the leaked audio tape features four high-ranking German Air Force officers discussing hypothetically how Taurus long-range cruise missiles could be used by Kiev against invading Russian forces, rising tensions and increasing tensions between Berlin and Moscow. Not all participants adhere to the secure dialing procedures as intended. Apparently, the person who dialed in was at the Singapore Air Show and was like, oh, got to jump on a call, went back and either used his mobile phone or hotel Wi-Fi, which is not a secured line and is considered mandatory. The RSS, on its end, tracked it, was able to intercept it, record it, and then leak the audio. So we'll see. They did not name who did that or why, but man, oh man. This is where you have to understand, if you're going to a big show like RSA or Black Hat, or if you go to any one of those, you know, events that bring out leadership to it, the criminals are going to be there. The nation state adversaries are going to be there, and they're looking for that opportunity. You can't not put any of those safety precautions when there. The Germans are figuring it out right now. Fidelity joins Bank of America after their third-party service provider, Infosys McAmish, experienced a cybersecurity incident. This impacted 30,000 Fidelity Investment Life Insurance Company customers who've now been notified that they've fallen victim to this third-party data breach. IMS discovered the systems were breached between October 29th of last year and November 2nd. The unauthorized actor was also able to obtain data stored in their systems. Now they join Bank of America, who had 57,000 customers compromised as part of this breach, showing you just how important that is. Supply chain, third party, it's really, really critical. Capita says a cyber attack experienced last year has cost an annual loss of more than 106 million pounds, nearly $135 million, roughly a quarter of which was directly caused by the incident, meaning around $25.4 million was used to respond to before the cost of the incident. Its annual results published Wednesday confirmed net costs from the attack of 25.3 million pounds, $32 million. Cabot attributed the rest of the losses to high costs, including business exits and goodwill impairment. Along its annual results on Wednesday, the company's chief executive announced cost-cutting plans aimed to address the significant loss. The incident, which was claimed by the Black Bass, the ransomware group, the company shares has dropped by more than 54%, plummeting from a high of 38 pounds and 64 pence on March 30th, the day before the incident, to nearly 16 pounds and 18 pence when this article was written nearly yesterday. According to the annual report, Capita's net promoter score company experience metric dropped from a 0.16 positive from a 2.16 from a plus 16 to a plus 26 as a result of the cyber incident impacting its pension administration business. The British pension regulator wrote to hundreds of pension funds in the wake of the attack to tell them to check whether client data had been stolen. The company has clarified that such evidence could emerge as the company continues to analyze the incident nearly a year later. Given the percentage of compromised server estate, it's not an industry standard for conveying how much data had been stolen. Capita Financial, you know, these are significant, and this is a great use case, something to share with your board of directors or with your executive team as part of a study of the impacts of cybersecurity incidents and ransomware attacks on organizations. We've already did the Fidelity story. Let's go ahead and get to this PetSmart story, which is warning customers that their passwords were reset due to an ongoing credential stuffing attack attempting to breach PetSmart account. PetSmart is the largest retailer in the U.S. It's focusing on pets and associated products with over 60 million customers and 1,600 stores nationwide. In a new email notification seen by the Dark Web Informer, the company warns that customers are being targeted by a credential stuffing attack used to gain access to their PetSmart account, and there could potentially be trying to get either order products, services from there in order to resell from stolen accounts on someone's credit card, or potentially abuse that data as well. Other companies that have been hit by credential stuffing attacks include PayPal, Spotify, Xfinity, and Chick-fil-A, with more damaging losses to FanDuel and DraftKings, the popular sports betting websites. In vulnerability news, VMware released a security update to fix the critical sandbox escape vulnerabilities in the VMware ESXi, Workstation Fusion, and Cold Foundation products, which allow attackers to escape VMs and access the host OS. The advisory outlines four different vulnerabilities: CVE-2024-22252, 22253, 22254, and 22255. They range from 7.1 to 9.3 on the CVSS scale. Some of them are used after free bugs. One of them is an out-of-bounds write flaw in the ESXi, and the other one is an information disclosure problem in the UHCI USB controller impacting ESXi Workstation and Fusion. The vulnerability could allow a malicious actor with admin access to a VM to leak memory from the VMX. All in all, there is now a patch for all of these, and you want to make sure to address that. And finally, insider threat over at Google, when a 38-year-old Chinese national has been indicted and charged for stealing proprietary information from Google while covertly working for two Chinese-based tech companies. Lin Wei Ding, aka Leon Ding, a former Google engineer, was arrested yesterday after a charge and an indictment for transferring sensitive Google trade secrets and other confidential information from Google's network to his personal account while secretly affiliating himself with a PRC-based company in the AI industry. The defendant is said to have taken from Google over 500 confidential files containing AI trade secrets with the goal of passing them on to two unnamed Chinese companies looking to gain an edge in the ongoing AI race. While Lin Wei Ding was employed as a software engineer at Google, he was secretly working to enrich himself and two companies based in the People's Republic of China, according to U.S. attorney Ismail Ramsey. By stealing Google's trade secrets and its artificial intelligence supercomputing systems, Ding gave himself and the companies that he affiliated with in the PRC an unfair competitive advantage. He joined Google in 2019. He's been accused of siphoning proprietary information related to their supercomputing data center infrastructure used for running AI models and the cluster management system software for managing the data centers. These thefts occurred between May 21st of 2022 until May 2nd of 2023 to a personal Google Cloud account. The indictment alleges that adding Ding's secretly affiliated himself with the two tech companies based in China One offered him the position of chief technology officer sometime in June of 2022. Another founded by Ding himself by no later than May 30th of 2023, acting as its CEO. During an interesting twist, Ding took steps to conceal the theft of trade secret by purportedly copying the data from Google source files into Apple Notes application on his company provided MacBook, then converting the notes into PDF files before uploading them to Google accounts. So some stuff there. He faces up to 10 years in prison and $250,000 in fines for each count. Insider threat, significant. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back with a whole lot more on Monday. Tomorrow, Chris Fallon and I, 11 a.m. Eastern, we're talking Zero Trust, one of the pillars. So tune in to that. Bring your comments and all the fun stuff. I will be posting on that later today. Until then, have a great rest of your day. And most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.